Children's Church, right? Praise the Lord. Choir sounded pretty good, didn't it? We're going to be awesome tonight. I want to convince Miss Mary to join us. If I can do it. We were sitting in front of her. She's got a beautiful voice. Put you on the spot, sorry. Beautiful voice. I missed a Jesse. It was. Oh. Amen. Praise the Lord. So tonight we should have a good time at the fifth Sunday night sing at Morrison Baptist Church. Is that right? So what's that? So I'm excited about that. I think it's going to be a good time. Good to see everyone. And I really enjoy the piano. Do you guys? I love hearing the piano playing. Thank you, Tammy. You did a good job with that. And that's great. I pray that we always have a piano and sing some good hymns. And I like the new praise and worship songs, but I think it's important to strike a balance, you know, and that kind of thing. So thank God for the good old hymn book and the piano. And amen. Good to see Noah. And wow, forgot again. What was your name?
Kelsey.
Sorry. Noah and Kelsey with us this morning. Sorry if I embarrassed you, but howdy. They were in Sunday school. That was good. He did a good job. Where's he at? Where's Heath? At the kids. Okay. So, all right. So, our grandkids, we had them this weekend. As I shared in Sunday school, I forgot how it was to have all those little ones running around the house. They're four and eight, so we had them all weekend. It was fun. We had a blast. Had a good time, for sure. All right, so this morning we're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 36 through 37. Acts, chapter 4, verse 36 and 37. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as always, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to brag on you and to deliver your word and preach the word and teach the word. Father, I ask you to help me this morning. Share this in the way that you put on my heart. Lord, I pray for the our church family, Lord, the ones that are not here. And Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the good positive reports from Reagan and his family. We continue to lift him up in the name of Jesus and all the other folks that are not doing well. And we just lift it all to you and trust you and trust that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Acts chapter 4, verse 36 through 37, and a real short verse, but let's read together. It says, Acts says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, on Sunday night, we've been talking about going through the book of Acts. We've kind of already talked about this in detail, but I want to bring something out this morning. I feel like God's put on my heart. And so, amen? Amen. I'll tell you a quick story. I'm about to read it, so you'll hang with me. There's an old story about a preacher that was leaving his church. At his farewell dinner, he tried to encourage one of the founding members that looked very sad. He said, "Don't be so sad, ma'am. The next preacher might be better than me." She replied, "That's what they said before you came, but it just keeps getting worse." Now that's kind of funny to me there for sure, but it's not a very encouraging thing to say. Would you agree? Now, we all need encouragement from time to time, even pastors and deacons and teachers and doctors and lawyers and truck drivers and stay-at-home moms, grocery store clerks and secretaries and policemen and firemen, even Indian chiefs. Amen? We need encouragement from time to time. This old life that we live can be challenging. Can I get amen on that? on every angle, life can definitely be a challenge. So we definitely need to be encouraged. We all need someone that can lift us up from time to time. Do you agree? Now, when Lynn and I we first got saved, we were both in the military. I think I've mentioned this before. I was on a 6-month tour overseas, and basically in the South China Sea, and Lynn was in the state of Washington, and that's where Lynn first discovered the Navigators. Anybody ever heard of the Navigators? It's a great ministry. They're a wonderful missionary discipleship ministry dedicated to encouraging and reaching out to the U.S. military all over the world. You know, we both got saved and was growing in our new spiritual life. The Navigators were very, very important to us. They were very, very encouraging. A couple examples real quick. Lynn plugged into a Navigators meeting in Oak Harbor, Washington, where she began to grow in these small group Bible studies that they were having, and it was really, really positive. When I was in Okinawa, Japan, I hooked up with a missionary, a foreign missionary, happened to be, a Navigator missionary, and he had a house there. And we were all on our off time, we'd always go to this house, me and a couple of guys that were Christians, and we would go to his house, we'd play ping pong, and his wife would cook food, and it was very, very encouraging for us. And then when we got back to San Diego in California, I'm telling you, this kind of built up the importance of outreach ministry and being an encourager. But there was a house that they owned in San Diego, and I used to go there. All my buddies would go drinking and partying and all the crazy stuff that comes with that. And at some point, I was the only one maybe in my whole platoon during that time that didn't drink and party and do all the crazy stuff. So I'd go to this house of the Navigators, and it was great. These folks would come in, and it was just a house that had these rooms and had these different little libraries and had praise and worship music going. And back in that day, that's when the hippies all got saved out in California. Everybody remember that? The Maranatha music kicked in. That's where we get modern-day praise and worship music really from. It's from those old hippies out in California that got saved and started, strumming a guitar, acoustic guitar. But it was very encouraging for me during the first parts of me growing in the Lord. And they would come and cook hot dogs and chili dogs. And as a young Marine, that was good food for me. Nachos and, caught up with me later, 35 years later. But it was very, very encouraging. And I'm going to tell you another quick story. In June of 1956, a freak accident happened on a lake in New York. A speeding motorboat bounced on a wave and shot into the water two of its passengers. A 50-year-old man and a little girl. To keep her from drowning, the man held her head above water while the boat circled back around. They rescued the girl, but the man sank and drowned. That's how Dawson Trotman died. I guarantee you most of you don't know who that is. I actually didn't until I was preparing this message. He was the founder of the Navigators. According to a quote in Time magazine, he lived to save others. His death was just the way he would have planned it. In his obituary, someone wrote that he died just the way he lived, always lifting someone up. Wow. What a legacy, right? What a powerful thing to be known as someone who's always lifting others up, encouraging others. I've learned in the counseling field that I'm in that one word of encouragement can inspire someone. It can help someone. It can help a family. It can save a life. Just one word of encouragement. You wouldn't believe the amount of times I've heard the same old story. I had that gun right there. I had those pills right there. I was just getting ready to end it all. when the doorbell rang, the phone rang, I got a text. And it was someone saying hello. We all need some encouragement from time to time. When we receive encouragement, we feel that others care about us. I've entitled this message, The Gift of Encouragement. Because I really believe that this gift of encouragement is a spiritual gift from God. God gives us talents and God gives us gifts. But most of the time, not always, but most of the time, a talent brings glory to the individual. Because they end up serving self. But a gift, the spiritual gift, brings glory to God because they end up serving others. We see that a lot of times in famous folks. You know, who knows where Michael Jackson would have ended up, right? Who knows where Elvis, you know, we can use all these crazy examples where they would have ended up if they would have used their talents and their gifts to bring glory to God rather than bring glory to themselves. That's an extreme example, but we can use that example in ourselves, can't we? Wherever we're at in our life. My prayer this morning is this message that God will inspire you to become an encourager. Let's take a look at one of the greatest encouragers in the Bible this morning. You see, at that time, like we talked about in the book of Acts, the church was growing. They were fired up for the Lord. They were preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. The church was on fire for God. The Holy Spirit was moving in a mighty way. And at that time, the folks were getting together and selling all their goods and bringing it to the church. They were bringing it to the apostles. And I believe it was needed in that day so the church could have what it needs to survive and grow in that infant stage. But there was one man that was singled out for his generosity and his encouragement. His name was Joseph. And most of us really don't remember him by that name. Okay? We remember him as what? Barnabas. You see, the apostles gave him this nickname. And nicknames can be good and bad, can they? For sure. Some of us had nicknames when we were kids. I want to encourage you to be careful, though, with nicknames. Don't nickname your son, you know, Little Johnny, right? As mean as a snake. So be careful with that negative nickname speaking over your children. Be careful about that. Don't speak those negative things. Oh, look at him. He's mean as a snake. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because he'll end up what? Being trying to fulfill that. Back in Jesus' days, nicknames had a meaning. Almost all names had meanings. They had a strong meaning behind it. And Barnabas meant son of encourager, or just, you know, encourager. He's an encourager. It was Barnabas. Now, everywhere Barnabas went, you found people that were encouraged. Let's look at this in Acts chapter 11, verse 21 through 24. Let me read it to you. Acts 11:21-24 said, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church of Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, he saw what the grace of God had done. He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their heart. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. See, they heard what was going on, and they sent Barnabas, the encourager. Even when the great, everybody say great, the great apostle Paul, which we talked about him a lot last week, even when the great apostle Paul was angry and a little frustrated with John Mark, remember that story? You know, he didn't want him to be a part of the ministry team anymore. Barnabas chose to stay and encourage who? John Mark. Let me read this scripture real quick because I'm building on this, so hang on with me. Acts 15:36-40 says, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the believers and all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. Now think about this for a minute. Have we ever done this with anybody in our lives? Family? Friends? Co-workers? Neighbors? See, Paul didn't want to take John Mark with them because he saw him as a quitter. He's just a quitter. He saw him as someone who would not go through with his commitments. It seems like to me, when I study the scripture, that Paul had a little grudge against this young man. I mean, it came out a little bit in his flesh. Paul's just human, just like us, right? He wasn't. All that Paul could see was his weaknesses. And Barnabas saw his strengths. Paul saw a young man in his mind, Paul saw a young man that he thought maybe needed a little public humiliation. But Paul saw a young man who needed a little encouragement. And obviously it worked. This young man that Barnabas encouraged and took alongside of him, as we all know, became the writer of the Gospel of Mark. Now, this happened, they say, around 50 A.D. or something like that. And Mark wrote this book in around 64 A.D. So that was like 14 years. So those 14 years that kind of went by. And something happened from Mark for 14 years as he grew and mature. And none of us really know what all really happened. But I guarantee you one thing. It was a springboard from Barnabas' encouragement. And taking time with him. And spending time with this young man. And encouraging him. I want to encourage you this morning to be an encourager. Okay? The Greek word encourage means a fancy Greek word I can't pronounce. You ready? I'm going to give it a try. Parakaleo. Does that make me sound smart? Parakaleo, okay? Really, seriously, it's a Greek word, but I love the definition of it, the Greek definition. You ready? It means to call one to a side. It means to bring someone, to comfort someone, to call one to the side, to console, to encourage, to strengthen. That's what it really means. So Barnabas took this time to do this with John Mark. When we encourage each other, we walk beside them. It means to share with them what's going on in their life, to encourage them. This goes with our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers. Now, the first thing and the main thing that we see with this scenario is that we need to use our words to encourage people. Words are very, very important in encouraging. Doesn't do any good just to think about it. Wow, isn't he a nice fellow? Isn't she a nice lady? We need to show this with words, this encouragement with words. Acts 13:15 says this. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them saying, brothers, if you have a word of encouragement for the people, come give it. Now think about this. This is Paul and Barnabas. They have arrived in Antioch, and they went to the synagogue for the Sabbath. And usually at that time they'll read what we call the Old Testament. They'll read some parts of the Old Testament, and then when they're finished, they'll ask people to stand up and give a word. Well, here's Paul and Barnabas. They, you know, the leaders read, and they ask them, could you get up and could you give us a word of encouragement? Here they are looking for encouragement. We all look for these words. Words that would help us stay on course. Words that would motivate us, encourage us. Words that would give us confidence that we maybe are in God's will for our life. We need these words. As the old saying goes, if you don't have anything good to say, then don't say anything at all. Ann Landers said this. You remember? Anybody old enough to remember that? Ann Landers once said, the trouble with talking too fast is you may say something you haven't thought of yet. I love that. Ephesians 4:29 is, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Amen? How many of you guys ever heard of the hoof and mouth disease that cattle get? You know? Yeah. Sometimes when we rush to speak or maybe to discourage, we can get what I call the foot in the mouth disease. Can we? Then we go, oh man, why did I say that? You know, a lot of you parents, you know, how many times you've done that with your children? Really, right? Oh, I shouldn't have said that. You know, get that foot in the mouth disease. We must be careful to not let our words discourage others. It's okay to speak the truth in love, but not when it's discouraging, especially with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Right? Now, our society has something totally different than what Jesus had in his day. I'm going to go there a little bit. Here we go. We have social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest, and many other social media websites. We have online socializing and networking through real-time games and interactive websites. If you're 30 and under, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you other guys, you might be in there, right? This is the way that many people communicate in the world today. Would you all agree? A lot. If you're 30 and below, maybe even 40 and below. Like most everything in life, it can be used for good or bad. It can be used to steal or to give. Tell the truth or to lie. To discourage or encourage. Let me say this. Let me encourage you guys to think carefully what you speak through this new medium. This is a mission field. No matter what you think, how old you are, this is a mission field. Big time. Use this technology to encourage and build people up, not to tear people down and discourage them. Use it to build the kingdom of God. You see, when we speak these words, our voice is limited by those that hear us now, this morning. But the internet places our words forever in the land of technology and goes around the world. I want to encourage you to be an encourager. I'll tell you a quick story about Facebook. Some of you don't like Facebook, and that's okay. I have nothing wrong with that. I've led people to Christ on Facebook. I've talked people out of suicide on Facebook. I use it as a mission field, as a ministry to encourage others, sometimes around the world, sometimes around the country, mostly in the U.S. I have 3 Facebook accounts. And I have a personal one, and then I have one for my book, and then I have a ministry one. And I use it that way. I always use it to encourage people. I stay out of politics and religion. I don't take that the wrong way. I don't get into any religious debates. I leave it alone. But I will share privately about Jesus and what he's done for my life. I'm always sharing something positive, encouraging with the family. And here's my last little word about that. A wise man once told me long ago that if my life was worth living, it's worth recording. If my life is worth living, it's worth recording. And years ago, I started journaling. And I kind of stopped about 10 years ago when Facebook picked up. And that's what I do. And I'm here to promote Facebook, even though I do own a little stock in it. But sorry. But when it first came out, remember that? But how beautiful it is for me now is that when I'm dead and gone, my children, my grandchildren, it's over there in children's church, maybe my great-grandchildren can go back and look at, you know, 15 years, 20, 30 years, if it's that long, they can go back and look at Grandpa and Grandma, where they went around the world and they traveled and what they believed and what they looked like and what they sounded like through the videos. And they can look back at that and look at all this stuff. You know, this it's like an interactive journaling of my life. And that's why I keep doing it. And anyway, that's just my story about that. But I definitely use it as a ministry, and I use it as a mission field. And I also use it as an interactive journal of our life. I wish I could go back and look at my grandfather. You know what I mean? I know what he was doing on a certain day and what he lived like, what he believed in, what he sounded like, you know, his voice and his mannerisms and things like that. What a beautiful thing. Let's look at one more example. I know I'm running out of time. One more example about Barnabas as far as him being a man of action and encouraging folks. Acts 9:26-27. I'm going to read it here. It says, when he came to Jerusalem, he's talking about Paul. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Afraid of Paul. Not because, you know, not believing that he really was a disciple. So they didn't believe it. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus, and Paul began to preach fearlessly in the name of Jesus Christ. So Paul was still going by the name of Saul at this time. And he had been saved on the road to Damascus and answered God's call to preach and teach. See, the trouble was that they remembered him as the one who persecuted the church. Okay? The Christians in Jerusalem were afraid of him. They thought that he was trying to trick them. So Barnabas took Paul, the apostle, to the apostles and stood up for him. He stood up for him. Paul, I'm sure, was grateful. Barnabas sticking up for him during this time. What would have happened if Barnabas had not stuck up for Paul? We don't really know. All we can speculate. Maybe Paul might have started saying, man, I don't relate to these people. I don't fit in here. He might have put his head down and went off somewhere and had a pity pot. Who knows? But thank God for Barnabas. Sometimes all someone needs to hear is, I believe in you. You can do it. Hang in there. All things are possible with God. If God be for you, and who could be against you? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Maybe all you can do is send an old-fashioned card in the mail. Wow, who does that anymore? Maybe your ministry at Pauline Baptist Church, maybe your gift is to send out a card in the mail. I think we need somebody like that, don't you? Somebody would just send out a card, not on a birthday, not on an anniversary or Christmas, just a card. We're thinking about you. Maybe your ministry, maybe your gift to Pauline Baptist Church is sending prayers of encouragement by an email to heaven. Maybe that's your gift. The gift of encourager. I encourage you today to ask God what your gift is and start serving Him by serving people. I encourage you to do this. Ask God about how you can be an encourager and lift people up. I'm going to close. Speak blessings over your spouse. Speak blessings over your children. Speak blessings over your grandchildren. Encourage the brothers in Christ. Encourage our family and friends. You never know what that one word of encouragement might help someone with their relationship with God. Let's be an encourager. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. Lord, if there's one here today that's never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, when we do the song of invitation, I ask that you would put in their heart to come down and get saved and give their life to Christ. Lord, maybe there's someone here that would like to join the church. I pray that they will come on down and we'll talk about that. Thank you for this morning, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.